Welcome to In My Own Words, where we stand behind our opinion like courtside Karen stands behind her fake age.
Why do you look 50 and you're 24?
What?
We're not buying it. All right, welcome to episode 63. Is that right? Episode 63 of the In My Own Words podcast. I am your host, Tony R. Sanders, and man, we got a fun show for you. I'm going to be honest, I have the worst toothache right now. As a matter of fact, if you're watching this on YouTube, if you're listening, you can't see this. This is not a podcast sponsored by Orajel, but I have Orajel right here because I have a tooth that desperately wants to get out of my head. And I need to go let that happen. So, anyway, we're not here to talk about my teeth. We are here to talk about courtside seats, though, and Karens. We got to talk about this whole thing. So, for those of you who don't know, in Atlanta, they're letting fans back in the building. Now, this wasn't the story where I saw a couple weeks ago where they had COVID-sniffing dogs. And I don't want to get into this whole conversation about how intelligent dogs are, because every time I brought this up, people say, oh, you know what? Dogs are so intelligent. I'm like, yeah, I mean, comparatively for animals. Yeah, maybe. dogs are, you know, they're mildly intelligent. I'll give you that. But intelligent enough to sniff out COVID? What does COVID smell like anyway? COVID probably smells like what this tooth is going to smell like if it doesn't come out of my mouth. What does COVID smell like? I don't know. I haven't been around anyone with COVID that I know of, hopefully. But anyway, but this situation is not the dog smelling COVID on people and then not letting them into the game. How mad would you be, though, by the way, if you go, you get all gussied up. That's a term we don't use anymore. You get all gussied up to go out to the game. And you get to the game and some dog sniffs you and says, ah, Earth, she got the coves. She got that vid over there. He got the vid. And now you can't go to the game. You got to watch at home like us regular folk because the dog said you got the vid. The dog could have been coughing. The dog could have just been having a bad day. You know what I mean? I guess the dog sits down next to you when you have COVID, when they smell it. And you have COVID, they sit down next to you. But if they keep walking, you're good. What if he's just tired? What if I get there late? Because I'm always running late. Truth be told, I'm not always running late. My wife's always running late. But we're going to keep that between us. But I'm always running late. You know what I mean? I get to the game late. The dog tired. He didn't sniff 9,200 people. And he get to me. He just want to take a break. Does that mean I got the vids? Because he want to take the break? Anyway, this is not that situation. I think that's happening in Miami or something, but this was in Atlanta. There was a lady sitting courtside, and she got into a little back and forth with LeBron James. Now, there are a couple of reasons why I don't believe this story. I'm seeing all the signs of this being BS. Matter of fact, let me hit the theme music. I saw so many signs of this being a bunch of crap. Okay, I saw so many reasons not to believe this. But we're going to take this slow. We're going to slow walk this one down. We're going to talk about what happened. So there's a lady who got into a back and forth with LeBron that made SportsCenter. It was on ESPN. It was on the timelines, whatever timeline you want it to be on. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all over the place, right? And she was deemed to be courtside Karen. Now we're going to talk about that phrase. And Karens in general in a second. But let's stick to this specific one. Now, I want you to hear just a snippet of what she said happened. Because I always believe this. There are three sides to every story, right? There's my side, there's your side, and there's a truth somewhere in the middle. But this, there's something a little fishy about this one. Let's listen to what she said. Here's courtside Karen on her Instagram stories explaining the event the night of the game where she got into the back and forth and got kicked out. Listen.
So I'm minding my own business, and Chris has been a Hawks fan forever. He's been watching the games for 10 years, whatever.
Let me stop that, first of all. You weren't minding your own business. Karens don't mind their own business? I've never been around a Karen that minds their own business. I got a neighbor that's a Karen. She's never minding her own business. She always is somebody else's business. She's always in somebody else's business. But here's the problem. Karens normally think that your business is their business. So to her credit, she probably doesn't think she's lying already, but she's lying already. When the Karen at Central Park called the police on a bird watcher and said, "There's a black man attacking me," she thought that that was her business, that he was there. She literally thought it was her business. When you see the videos of the Karens, you know, Karens going wild. When you see the videos of the Karens and they're calling people, the police on people because they're not supposed to be in this apartment building, that's none of your business. Your business stopped at 3C, okay? Your business stopped at 3C. That's none of your business. You don't own this building. You don't run this game. And so, well, I'm gonna let her finish. But I just had to say, number one, you're already lying because you say that you were minding your own business. That's line number one. Let's run it back. Let me hear it.
So I'm minding my own business, and Chris has been a Hawks fan forever. He's been watching the games for 10 years, whatever. He has this issue with LeBron. I don't have an issue with LeBron. I don't give a fuck about LeBron. Anyway,
lies.
I'm minding my own business, drinking my wine, having fun. All of a sudden, LeBron says something to my husband. And I see this, and I go, I stand up and go, "Don't fucking talk to my husband." And he looks at me and he goes, "Sit the fuck down, bitch." And I go, "Don't fucking call me a bitch. You sit the fuck."
Stop it.
Oh my God. Wow.
Listen to what I'm about to tell you. What you say LeBron said to you in public on national TV while all the cameras are watching is impossible. It's completely impossible. I believe you may have been talking trash to your husband after your husband said something to him, if that's your real husband. I don't think it is. There's already pictures floating around with this guy getting into other incidents at NBA games, bringing other women to the game. So if that's your man, I don't know if that's your man or not, but if it is, I can see that. You know, you say something to LeBron, he hears you, he looks over, he gives you a look, he says something back. But you want me to believe that he called you out your name on national TV and none of the cameras caught it? This is the same guy that sits on the bench and talks to his teammates like this. He's covering his mouth to talk to his teammates. He's sneaking in words under towels to talk to the opposing team. After the game, he was the one whispering through his shirt to AD, "Yo, come to LA, come to LA. I got you, bro. I got you." You want me to believe that he called a white woman out of her name on national TV in front of everybody?
Oh my God. Wow.
You, my dear, are a liar. You are a liar. Let me tell you something. There are certain situations in the black community where we can look at it and we can simply declare, and it's an excellent declaration. If you're black, you already know where I'm going with this. I want you to say it with me. It's an excellent declaration. We can look at a situation and say, you know what? Black people don't do that. I said it. Drop the mic, walk away. Black people don't do that. I'm just trying to tell you something, right? When Juicy Smollett, when we saw that whole story and the way that unraveled and the version of the story, we didn't want to say anything, but we were like, black people don't do that. Now, I know that there are some black people walking around with a little more air in their chest, feeling a lot of pride, feeling extra confident, because it's Black History Month. But don't let that fool you. Don't think that we're so confident that we're calling white women out of their name on national TV where it's being televised and recorded for all to see. Don't think for a second that that's happening. Listen, this reminds me of a conversation I was having with a friend of mine, right? A friend of mine who happens to not be black. We were walking and there was a lady who left her car running and left the keys in her car. She went inside, and it appeared to him as though she didn't realize she left her car running and the windows down. Now, it didn't appear to me at all because I mind my business. Okay? I had nothing to do. I didn't even see this lady. I was minding my business. And he says, "You know what? As a good Samaritan, I should go and roll her window up, take the keys out of her car, and go bring it to her just in case. I can see her. She's right there. She's going to be in there for a while. She paid the meter. I should just go give her keys to her and say, hey, there's been break-ins going on in the area, da-da-da-da-da. He gave all these statistics that, again, I don't have because I mind my own business. And so I said, that's great for you. I'm going to keep walking. And he's like, what? It's like, yeah, black people don't do that. There is no way I'm going to stick my arm in this lady's car to open her door, turn the keys off, roll the window up, and go give her her keys. Can you imagine me, 6 foot, 250 pound me, walking up to this lady, say, hey, I got your keys. Can you imagine her looking out the window and seeing me stick my arm in her car? Black people don't do that. I'm not afforded the right to be a, quote, good Samaritan in that way because I know the consequences that could come after it. I'm not going to get killed because of you. I'm not getting the cops called on me because I was trying to help you. You lose your car, that's your business. It ain't got nothing to do with me. And so it's just certain things I can look at that and say, black people don't do that. Now, does that mean that all black people think the same? Absolutely not. Does that mean black people are a monolith? Absolutely not. But that does mean that I can look at something and say, the chances, the statistical probability that happened is wrong. She went on to say something that was probably the most egregious thing in this entire situation. She went on to say that she was a 25-year-old. Okay, now listen. Charlamagne Tha God is one of my favorite personalities to watch. And he says, sometimes white people age like milk. You ever send milk out into the sun too long? You ever see what happens? Doesn't look good, does it? Okay. Now, I'm not saying that just because you're white, you have to age like milk. I'm just saying the statistical probabilities, if you're a Karen, especially with that type of attitude, always angry, always in someone else's business, I do believe every Karen on earth ages like milk. I truly believe that. Now, I will say she looks like she's been under the knife a few times, if you know what I mean. Like the husband must have tons of money and he's paid tons of money for that body. But we know when it's authentic. We can tell when it's real or real surgery. We can tell when it's authentic and natural or when it's surgical. I've watched enough Dr. Miami Snapchats and Instagram stories to know what all of that look like. You know, I understand what all of that looks like. That's one of my favorite sound bites from Ink Master, where the guy said this.
Why do you look 50 and you're 24?
I have wanted to ask people that several times. Like, huh, that's an interesting question. You want to examine that. There may be some learning in there for me. Why you look 50 if you're 24? That would have been my follow-up question to her if I had a chance to talk about this. But anyway, courtside Karen, I think that whole mentality of being able to talk to the players is something that should be beyond the game of basketball. I do love being a fan, getting excited, but I'm not going to go out of my way to talk trash. She was talking crazy to LeBron like she could beat him up. Like she was ready to go fist up with this guy. Now, of course, you know, LeBron's not going to hit her, I don't think. What if he did? What if this was Malice in the Palace Part 2? See, I'm from Indianapolis, right? I'm a Pacers fan. If you're watching this on video, you see a Danny Granger bobblehead behind me. I'm a Pacers fan. I remember when we were going to win the championship. We were going to win it. Don't let anybody tell you different. We were going to win the championship. We were absolutely going to do it. And we got into that fight with the Pistons. And the Pistons knew we were going to do it. We've been beating up on them. We were going to beat them, and they weren't happy about it. So they started a fight. Can you imagine if LeBron James would have Steven Jackson that lady? You remember Steven Jackson went up, and he loaded the punch at the three-point line, but he didn't land it into the eighth row in the stands. Can you imagine if LeBron just knocks the Botox out of this lady? Oh, my gosh. That would have been That would have been all over the news as well. So, courtside Karen, I don't know. I think it's too much. I love being a fan. I love, you know, being passionate about the sport that you love, and even being passionate about the team that you root for. But at a certain point, it has to stop, right? At the point where you're threatening, where you're drunk enough to believe that you can beat up the behemoth that's LeBron James, at that point, it needs to stop. That's all I'm saying. So, courtside Karen, I wish you nothing but the worst in life. No, I'm kidding. I hope you do well. I wish you nothing but the best. But don't come in back to any more basketball games and stop the lies. Okay, the lies don't look good on you. Neither does the Botox. Okay, moving on. Oh, one other thing. I wanted to ask a question. And I think it's important the type of questions you ask. And it's Black History Month, so we're not going to answer this question. But is LeBron being racist calling her a Karen? I'm just asking. This is not a conversation about, you know, Karen being the new N-word, right? Karen's not the new nigga, okay? Let's just leave it at that. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is we have, as a culture, as Black culture, as we've done so well, we've taken something and made it into something else, something bigger, something better, right? And LeBron calling this lady courtside Karen with what he's implying, right, is that she's one of these Karens who have called the police on Black people for no reason just because they're racist, puts you in a certain category, right? Now, if I'm white, I got white privilege, I got money, I got all these things going for me in life, you know what I mean? I don't care if you call me a Karen. I don't care if you call me a cracker. I don't care if you call me white bread or whatever other name you want to use. I don't really care. I'm still winning. Scoreboard. That's what I would be telling Black people. Scoreboard, I'm still winning, right? But think about if the roles were reversed. Let's say that she was the best basketball player in the world in the WNBA. Not going to happen. But let's say she was, and LeBron was courtside, and he was yelling at her, and after the game, she called him, you know, courtside Jamal, or called him courtside Ray Ray, or whatever name you want to, whatever, courtside Darius, whatever. Like, let's just imagine that for a second. We will be calling her all kinds of racists. Now, again, we're not going to talk about this. Don't answer that question if LeBron calling her that is racist. We'll talk about it in March. It's Black History Month. We're going to celebrate our Black kings. Celebrate our Black kings. We're not going to talk about it. But, I mean, I don't know if her rant was racially motivated. But who knows? Anyway, we're going to move on. We're going to move on. Don't answer that question. Don't answer that question. I'm just joking around, maybe. We're going to move on. I have been married coming up on 12 years. Matter of fact, round of applause. And I shouldn't say I should say we. It's not like I'm Dennis Rodman or, you know, Monica marrying myself or whatever the case may be, right? So I want to do a new segment on the show. I love to talk about relationships. I love to talk about marriage. As a matter of fact, it's one of my favorite things to talk about stand-up wise. And if you are in the Indianapolis area, I'll be on the South Side in Fountain Square at the White Rabbit Theater. I almost couldn't say that. White Rabbit Theater, February 5th, doing stand-up. I'm sure we'll talk about marriage amongst other things. So make sure you get your tickets. I'll put a link in the description for the tickets. Make sure you get the tickets. Social distancing is required. So the tickets may actually already be sold out. I know the last time we talked, they maybe had a table or two left. The tickets may already be sold out by the time you hear this. But if not, check the description of this podcast. You'll see a link there that you can click, take you to go purchase tickets, come out, have fun. Masks are required. Social distancing is required. You must buy a table. They have tables of 2, 3, 4, so on and so forth. So come with the group. Come with your significant other. We're going to have a good time. It's February 5th at the White Rabbit Theater. So, love to talk about marriage. Been married for 12 years. I love to talk about relationships and give relationship advice. Now, does being married 12 years, does that give me the credibility or the license to talk about relationships? Probably not. But Steve Harvey has been married 3 times, and y'all bought his book and made it number one bestseller. So we're going to talk about this anyway in a new segment I want to call Marriage Advice That No One Asked For. Me and my team, which is also me, we scoured the internet looking for marriage questions, people seeking advice on marriage, and we decided to grab a specific question and talk about it here on the podcast. So this is from Rosie. Rosie says, how can I deal with my husband's habits that don't sit well with me? Now, I will say this. First of all, Rosie, you have horrible grammar. I'm not one to talk. I'm not the grammar police, or, you know, I'm not always grammatically correct. I don't even speak full English. I speak the African-American vernacular English. Google AAVE if you don't know what that is. So I'm not judging you. But what I'm saying is you're making my job a lot harder trying to read what you wrote because you, never mind. It doesn't matter. You're probably not even going to listen to this. But Rosie, she says, how can I deal with my husband's habits that don't sit well with me? She said, hi, just married for nearly 2 years now, and I don't know how to understand the husband I'm with now. Very telling. The husband I'm with now. That, see, it's a little, when you've been married for as long as I have, it's little things like that that you pick up on. It's like, oh, a part of her brain is already out the door. Like a part of her brain, it's already out the door. It's like you're talking to a car dealer and they're trying to get you in a new car. And you say, well, the car I have now does this, this, this. But the car I want in the future, that's all I'm reading right now. So let me read it first and then I can break it down. What makes it a bit challenging is I don't see him acting like his age. He is nearly 40 now and act as if like he is anyone younger. See, this is what I'm talking about, Rosie. You're making this. I sound stupid because you don't know how to use Grammarly. Let me try to clean this up. He's nearly 40 now and acts like if he's younger. There are some habits that do not sit well with me. And then she goes on to list a bookload of examples. We'll read a few. Excuse me. Being on TV as soon as he gets home from work until the time we go to sleep. That's number one. Being on his phone as he gets up to leave in the morning until he leaves until we sleep. Leaves his clothes everywhere. Okay, that's a pretty common one. Delays chores that I sometimes ask him to do, which I end up doing myself. Doesn't know how to maturely communicate. Interesting. Always takes my sentiments as an offense, which he ended up shouting during an argument. FYI, I am aware that I communicated diplomatically, not shouting, not nagging, just plainly expressing my point. Takes pleasure in talking big while acting small. What? All right, Rosie. This made me cringe the most because this made me devalue his integrity, which I value the most. Wow. Okay. Always having plans for the future, but his everyday actions and habits do not translate. Not reading books nor doing anything that advances his vision. Not able to contain his emotion when we happen to have an argument in public. He tends to wear his emotions out, i.e. shouting. I know there's no perfect husband and I'm not a perfect wife. I'm sure that I also have attributes that don't sit well with him. That's good awareness. But maybe I expected him to be the mature one to handle the relationship because he is 37 and I just turned 30. But it ends up the other way around. First of all, let me say this. You ever heard this term called the op, the ops, the opposition, the opposing team? Have you ever heard the term, Rosie? If you haven't, let me help you. You're the ops. You are the opposition in this relationship. What I just read sounds like a scouting report of the other team. Like you're just breaking down all these little intricate details that you can just poke your finger in and get under his skin and really, really dig deep into the issues that this man is having according to you. you sound like you're the Chiefs preparing to play the Buccaneers. That's what it sounds like right now. You sound like the opposition. And here's the tough part about any relationship, especially a marriage. Anytime you complain about anything in your relationship, there is a 99.9% chance that you contributed to that in some way, shape, or form. Right? And that's really a tough pill to swallow. People never think about, man, this person is hard to communicate. They never think about, well, maybe he just doesn't want to talk to you. You ever think about that? Mind-blowing, right? Maybe he just doesn't want to talk to you. Maybe there's something going on there. I can tell by some of the things that you said right here that he doesn't trust you. He doesn't trust you because he looks at you. If you're talking to him this way or have these thoughts or these feelings, there's no way that you can have these feelings and these levels of emotion to, number one, put this out in public, right? But there's no way you can feel this way and hide these emotions at home, especially after a couple glasses of wine, after things get hectic, after things get crazy, you know, get into a heated argument or a debate or whatever the case may be. You can't suppress all this stuff. So he's feeling this stuff too. And so if I feel that way, especially as a man, there's a great chance that I'm going to try to avoid talking to you and expressing myself to you. You're saying that because he doesn't take action in the way you want him to take action, that you devalue his integrity. That's a gut punch to a man, right? You just stuck a knife in me. But let me tell you this, and this is the biggest piece of advice that I want to give you. Of course, there's no perfect husband, there's no perfect wife, there's no perfect team, there's no perfect marriage, no perfect union. But here's the thing, the moment when you guys decide that you're going to be on the same team and work through your issues together, that's the moment that you'll actually be a great couple. When you decide, okay, these things are not happening to me, they're happening to us, and I need to balance it, I need to try to figure it out, that's when you'll be a great couple. Right now, you have all these expectations of him, of what you want him to do, and who you want him to be, and the things you want him to handle, based on whatever reasons, right? Societal norms, the way you grew up, all these things. And now, since he's not doing that the way you think he should, now he's failing? Now he's not the man that you thought he was? You should be older than this by then? Like, all that stuff is the stuff that society pumps in your brain, that at 37, or at by 40, or by 30, you should have this, this, and this, and you should be here, here, and there. And that's all bullcrap. I'm 33 years old. I can't wait to go play Call of Duty when I get done with this podcast. I love doing this podcast. I love my family. I can't wait to go drop into Verdansk and do this podcast. You know what I mean? Does that mean I'm a kid? No. Does that mean I'm irresponsible? As long as I'm not neglecting my core responsibilities, absolutely not. Maybe it's something that I like to do for fun. Maybe it's a way that I deal with the stresses of my day. But here is the biggest problem of them all, and it's very common, especially with women. I'm just going to say it. You change. Men don't. Listen to what I'm saying. And men, listen to this for the reverse. Here's the problem when you get married, men especially. You propose to a girlfriend. You get a wife in return. Those two women are not the same women. Listen to what I'm telling you. Women go through different phases in life, and when they go through those phases, it changes them. Who they were in adolescence up until they hit their menstruation cycle, different woman than when they started menstruating. I've seen it with my sister. I've seen it with now my daughters. Different woman. When they are dating someone and they're single, or when they're married, two different people. Two totally different people. Again, hey, married 2 years, 12 years. Hello. Two totally different people. When that woman has a baby and becomes a mother, completely different woman. Different woman. There's a difference between when my kids are here with me and my wife, and my kids are not here. When she's in mom mode, which is mostly all the time because we have four kids to take care of, She's different than when it's just me and her kicking it and the kids are at their auntie's house or their grandparents' house or whatever, right? It's different. I even told her, I said, you're nicer to me when the kids aren't here. I told her that. It's a different woman. And so I think women, because you guys change so much because you develop and evolve with whatever new responsibilities you have, which is not a bad thing, you automatically think that men are going to change. And we don't. We're going to mature, right? We're going to take on our responsibilities as well. But it doesn't just change us. Whatever he was doing before you guys got married, he's going to continue to do that, right? You have to learn how to accept him for who he is and not change him into who you want him to be, right? If his clothes are all over the place, so what? He knows where they are. He knows how to clean them if he needs to. He gets dressed every day. He was dressing well enough for you to marry him in the first place. Hello. Something had to be going right. I always love that. Like my wife tries to like help me pick out outfits. It's like, oh, wait. How do you think we got here? It wasn't just because, you know, my mom was picking my outfits before that. I did that myself. Well, you don't know how to do laundry, so let me do it. Yeah, I'll let you do it. But I had clean clothes before I got here. How do you think that happened? Ta-da! Magic? No. So it's an interesting dynamic that always happens in a marriage is that the woman expects the man to be different. And the man expects the woman to be the same. And they're both wrong. And the sooner you realize that you're wrong, and the sooner you realize, how can I just appreciate that person for who they are now and not who they were or who I want them to be? But if I can just appreciate them now, things would be different. That is the marriage advice that nobody asked for. Yeah. What y'all think? I got a career. Can I do this on a talk show? Can we just make this, you know, an ongoing thing on the show where I talk about careers? Could I be Dr. Drew or somebody? What if I wrote a book about it? Would you buy it like you buy Steve Harvey's? I just want to know that. I don't have as much combined marriage experience as Steve Harvey. I will give you that, right? Maybe it's just hit me. Maybe I need to go marry more women. Not because I love them, okay? Not because I don't love Michelle. What I'm saying is experience. You know what I mean? You know how sometimes like you work at a job and you try to go get a new job, but the new job needs you to have more experience. And you're like, I just been working here. So then you got to leave that job, go get experience to go get the, you know, is this working? No? Okay. I think we just going to end it right there. Because I want to be alive to do the episode next week too. I want to be alive for episode 64. I want to see the fruits of my labor for episode 63. I'm going to leave it right there. I appreciate you guys tuning into the show. Rest in peace to Dustin Diamond, man. Screech from Saved by the Bell. Rest in peace to Cicely Tyson. Rest in peace to GameStop. That stock is out of here. Ha! You guys spent your money on GameStop. Ha! The funniest thing, and I'll get out of here. The funniest thing I seen on Reddit about GameStop on Wall Street Bets. Somebody just posted. You could tell they were down bad. They lost a lot of money. He just posted, man, y'all niggas not holding the line. GameStop went from being worth $500 a share to last time I checked, $118. No, niggas ain't holding the line. I'm out here losing bad. Help me. I'll see you guys next time. Peace.